for a month. Get both of those Democracy, Amy Goodman books, Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America, or Democracy Now! Or the Silenced Majority. Get both of those for $10 a month, one of them for $5 a month, whatever amount you can do. Call 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and what I think is that it's easy to overlook what the value of a community radio station when you're not directly involved with it. But I tell you, I am involved with it, and I know how important and how wonderful this place is for people, for volunteers, for community members to express themselves. This is so important in my view for this city, for our city, to continue to be cutting edge like we're supposed to be. It's very easy to donate. Everyone pays their Netflix monthly fee. Everyone does Xfinity. A lot of people that do Xfinity, and you know, this is something that is so important as those services that we all pay for. So please call, please help us. It's easy. 877-500-5266.
We gotta wrap this up. Just one person giving $100 a month will get us to our goal. Can you be the hero for Democracy Now? Call 877-500-5266.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 26th through the 29th, at various locations throughout North and Northeast Portland. The second annual Vanport Mosaic Festival will offer an exploration of the history and legacy of Vanport through a series of films and plays, lectures and conversations, and guided tours. Audiences will be invited to reflect upon the journeys of those who lived and died in the city of Vanport. As part of the festival, there will be screenings of a selection of Vanport oral histories. Again, that's the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 26th through the 29th, at various locations throughout North and Northeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, your community radio. How will you get involved? Some folks have gotten involved in a way that makes sense for them. And that brings me to where I am pleased, privileged, as well as contractually obligated to inform you that this program is made possible by KBOO members and support from Chamber Music Northwest, featuring the 2017 Summer Festival starting June 26th. 5 weeks of music, over 30 concerts, more than 60 artists in ensemble, 8 world premieres, 2 theatrical experiences, and a celebration of women composers that spans 9 centuries. More information at cmnw.org. Stay tuned now for the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, Manchester reels after a bombing at a packed concert.
The Republican budget.
The Republican budget is released, striking fear into the hearts of 99.999% of Americans.
And the last monument to the Confederacy has come down in New Orleans.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. KBOO is currently in our fantastic membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266 and become part of the magic that is KBOO. I'm Zelos Marchant.
And I'm Jasmine. Readers of Forest Grove's police blog were relieved to learn that the young man seen flailing his arms and acting erratically near Pacific University on May 16th was simply stressed about finals. The blog reports that, quote, after some counseling and a pep talk, the student calmed down and went on his way, end quote.
The Portland Water Bureau is considering adding new treatment plans, one to reduce lead and another to eliminate microscopic Cryptosporidium parasite. The Bureau's announcement of impending expenditures came today. The tiny parasite, also known as crypto, is a hardy microorganism encased in a tough egg-like structure that allows it to resist treatment with chlorine. To eliminate the bug, the Water Bureau will need new ultraviolet ray facilities costing millions of dollars. The rules defining treatment for crypto were developed by the EPA after lobbying by engineering firms that stood to benefit from the construction. Bids for water facilities in the past have centered around the engineering firm CH2MHL, a contributor to the campaigns of City Councilman Dan Saltzman. The Oregon Health Authority has been allowing Portland to avoid building a special facility due to the very low presence of the pathogen. But recent testing has found up to 12 microorganisms in a 2,200-liter sample, exceeding the levels that would be found in ultraviolet-treated water. Crypto first became a national health concern after an outbreak in 1993 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, led to the deaths of 104 elderly, immunocompromised persons, and the sickening of thousands more. The Wisconsin outbreak is believed to have been caused by cattle feces contamination in Lake Michigan. The amount of crypto in the Portland Bull Run Reservoir is not considered likely to sicken anyone, but it does exceed federal requirements. The treatment plants can cost in the hundreds of millions of dollars, whereas this month's announcement will not result in an immediate rate hike. Rates will eventually increase to support the new construction.
The former Normandy Apartments residents are holding a special action and awards ceremony today to honor the owner, Ira Verdin, with their Donald Trump Award for Predatory Real Estate Investment for buying the apartments and increasing the rent to 115% of its market standard. KBOO's Zelos Marchant spoke with Cameron Harrington of Living Cully to find out more.
Thanks again for coming on. Do you want to tell our audience about the action that's happening tomorrow?
Yes, we are hosting an awards ceremony tomorrow to honor the great contributions that Ira Verdin has made to the displacement of low-income families from the Cully neighborhood. He is the real estate investor who purchased the Normandy apartments back in December, and he's now raising the rent by over 115%. So most of the families who live at the Normandy, almost all of them, are moving out of the building and out of the neighborhood. And we are holding an award ceremony downtown tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday, at 11:30 a.m. to present him with a few awards, sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek awards, to honor him for all of the terrible work that he's doing.
Do you think that he knows that he's going to be possibly accepting these wonderful awards for the good deeds he's done in regards to the Normandy apartments?
I wouldn't be surprised if word has reached him. I'm sure he feels really proud of himself for all that he has accomplished in pricing 18 low-income families out of their homes. Over 30 kids are losing their homes as a result of his predatory practices. And we think that should not go unrecognized. He will be represented at the awards, to accept these prizes in the form of a rather large puppet. But whether he himself will show up or if he's going to leave the puppet to accept the awards on his behalf remains to be seen.
That's a really creative way to get a point across.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I believe we had you on about a month or two ago and had a resident from Normandy come, and we had an interpreter. We had somebody also from the nearby school come and talk about another angle of displacement that happens that people don't often think about, in terms of that these aren't just homes. There are people's communities. They're friendships. There's families. And the programs in the nearby school are really necessary to help kids, keep up with both languages that they may be learning, special programs that Dreamers and DACAs and immigrants receive, and that in this displacement, these families have to find different schools for their children, and they might not have the same programs or any programs at all. Can you give our audience the follow-up for how some of the families are doing, how maybe our audience can help?
Yeah, you're absolutely right that it's not just these families losing their homes and all of the stress that comes along with that, but there are long-term impacts for the schools that these kids are being forced out of, and for the children themselves in terms of their path and their education. Most of the kids who lived at the Normandy Apartments attended regular elementary, which has a dual Spanish-English immersion program that is really important to the families who are being displaced. A lot of the families that have already found new housing are moving to East Portland and are going to have to figure out if they can continue driving their kids back into Cully for school. And, you know, we know that there are thousands of families in Portland that already have to make that kind of sacrifice because they've lost their homes in closer in neighborhoods, but still it's important for their kids to continue on and have that continuity in their education. And beyond the schools, the apartments, you know, within that building of 18 homes really was a tight-knit community where people shared meals together and looked after each other's kids and celebrated holidays and events and invited their neighbors over for parties. And so that in and of itself is a real loss to our neighborhood, to lose that tight-knit community within our community. And some of the families are still struggling to find a new place to live. A few have already found homes, just a couple here in the Cully neighborhood, but most have been pushed far out of our neighborhood. And Living Cully is working with the residents to raise funds for a relocation fund for the families as they need assistance. And in addition to helping these specific families, the funds will be used to help other low-income renters who might face a similar crisis in the future. And you can donate to that fund online at livingcully.org/Normandy.
Okay. Can you remind our audience about where this action is taking place so they really have plenty of time to write it down and attend and show up and support?
Yeah, this action is tomorrow, Wednesday, at 11:30 a.m. It's going to be at Szymanski Park, which is on the park blocks at Southwest Main Street, right adjacent to the Wednesday downtown farmers market. And we'll have an awards ceremony where Ira Vierden, the real estate investor who owns the Normandy, will be receiving some very prestigious prizes, such as the Donald Trump Award for Predatory Real Estate Investment. And it should be a really fun opportunity to honor someone who has done such terrible things to the Cully neighborhood.
And thank you again for taking time out of your busy day.
You're welcome.
KBOO volunteers have been keeping it real, stepped up their game, getting funky, and run around to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Join us now, Ender.
Yeah.
My bad. No problem. My beautiful peeps. My bad. Ender and Jinka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, it's very easy. Just call us. Call 877-500-5266. We have dedicated volunteers here. We're just waiting to take your call and take all your information and just make a very happy day. Or if you prefer, you can just go online from the comfort of your computer, laptop, netbook, tablet, kboo.fm, kboo.fm, or you can easily download the KBOO app. It's a very small app. It barely takes any space on your phone. Download the app and you can donate straight from your app. Please help KBOO, help keep this community radio station going and strong so we can continue to do the things that we do for the community, each other.
Right. Yeah, or you could do like Barry Joe did in the last hour and just come on down here. 20 Southeast 8th is where we're located. You know, take a nice walk or bike ride in this weather and come on down and check out the station. You can see our palatial digs, our penthouse, our extreme wealth here or not. You can see all the bells and whistles that go into putting the station together, all the duct tape and the ways that we get this station going on a shoestring budget, and yet we're able to bring you stories that the corporate media leaves out, yet we're able to bring you the depth of analysis that these stations with billion dollar budgets, maybe not a billion, but hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases have these budgets, and yet they can't seem to do the kind of investigative reporting that KABU does for the hundreds of thousands of dollar budget that we have, which is a really not a significant budget when you think about everything that goes into making a newscast and the 500 volunteers that are supported by that budget, and the fact that we have free trainings, and the fact that our building is giving this transmission across Cascadia, and that we have a website that provides podcasts of all 200 programs that we've got on the air that are volunteer produced right here in our studios. I mean, when you think about what we do with the amount of resources that we have, you really can't beat it. This station is phenomenal. It's one of a kind. I mean, there's nothing like it. And this is our membership drive. Tomorrow is the last day of our membership drive. Maybe you've been holding out. You've heard us pleading on the airwaves, and you've just held on tightly to your wallet. Well, let go a little. Make a concrete investment in your community. This is your community radio station. We depend on your support. Do like Elliot did in North Portland. Thank you, Elliot, who gave online at kabu.fm. Elliot says, thanks for producing radio as it should be, informative, enlightening, and focused on supporting the voice of minorities. Thank you, Elliot, for that. And you could do that too. Just go online, kabu.fm. As Ender was saying, it's so easy to do online.
Yeah, just go to kabu.fm and click on donate, or just from the KABU app, and it's just a very simple process, and you can really help us out. Okay, yeah, so please don't forget 877-500-5266.
Call
or kabu.fm.
Help
us.
Phone.
Let's keep this radio station strong. Let's do it now.
Back to Zelos.
As the president travels abroad, the House of Representatives will vote on a proposed 10-year U.S. budget that severely cuts social spending programs while increasing funds to the Pentagon. The president's introduction to the budget reveals a trickle-down approach to the economy, shifting funds to the wealthy and punishing the poor. The budget cuts $191 billion from the SNAP National Food Assistance Program, reducing or eliminating food availability for tens of millions of Americans, including children, the elderly, and the disabled. The National Institutes for Health would lose $6 billion, weakening the fight against cancer and Alzheimer's disease. Planned Parenthood would be barred from Medicaid and HHS funding, and children's health insurance would be cut by a fifth. Cuts to Medicaid would amount to $600 billion over 10 years. The resulting savings would be applied to police and to the military. The Pentagon would add to the size of the Army, Navy, and Air Force by buying 84 new warplanes and 8 ships. The National Education Association and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting would effectively be eliminated by the proposed cuts. The budget is being criticized in the national press as extreme and immoral, and Senator John McCain called the proposed expenditures plan dead on arrival. The House of Representatives will take up the proposal this week.
And now, today's report for Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Mark Twain once said, "Too much of anything is bad, but too much good whiskey is barely enough." That could be the motto for Scotland, where Scotch whiskey is big business.
So in terms of the Scotch whiskey industry, we add just over $5 billion to the value of the UK economy. We support over 40,000 jobs across the UK, and we have over a million visitors to the Scotch whiskey distilleries in a year, which is similar to Edinburgh Castle, so it's pretty significant.
Morag Garden is with the Scotch Whiskey Association, a group of companies that produce 85% of the whiskey in Scotland. She says the Scottish climate is perfect for making whiskey.
It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's lots of rain.
So to do its part to help protect that special climate, the industry is reducing the amount of global warming pollution it emits. Member companies have pledged to use 80% renewable energy within 33 years. Each is going about it differently. Some have installed solar panels. Others are burning whiskey byproducts to generate energy. The Scotch Whiskey Association hopes its efforts will preserve the tradition and the taste of Scotch whiskey.
We're a sector who have been here for 500 years, and we want to be here for another 500.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
The city of New Orleans removed the last of four monuments to Confederate soldiers on Friday when a 60-foot statue of Robert E. Lee that stood at Lee Circle was taken down. The city's mayor, Mitch Landrieu, marked the occasion with an impassioned speech that has been praised in part for its frank rebuke of those who would argue that continuing to celebrate the Confederacy is necessary in order to preserve Southern cultural heritage. He said, quote, "History cannot be changed. It cannot be moved like a statue. What is done is done. The Civil War is over, and the Confederacy lost, and we are better for it. Surely we are far enough removed from this dark time to acknowledge that the cause of the Confederacy was wrong. And in the second decade of the 21st century, asking African Americans, or anyone else, to drive by property that they own, occupied by reverential statues of men who fought to destroy the country and deny that person's humanity, seems perverse and absurd. Centuries-old wounds are still raw because they never healed right in the first place," end quote. The city plans to replace the statues with fountains and American flags.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day in the newsroom to bring you all this coverage of local, national, and international news and public affairs. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Ender and Jinka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yes, I'm Ender, and I love KBOO. I've been working here for about maybe 2 years. They brought me here. I didn't know what radio station was. I guess I knew what radio stations were, but I wasn't really sure exactly what they were inside or the people and how things worked. And this place is just so wonderful. I tell you, like, when we say community run and all these fancy terms, I mean, what it really means is, like, it's really warm atmosphere where community people, anyone, where people can just express themselves, talk about things that are important to them, racial issues, all kinds of issues, financial issues, political issues, and just speak about these problems and the situations without anyone, like, cutting you off. No advertisement, which is really, really nice, because commercials, I mean, they're not very comfortable when you're trying to listen to something. And so this is just such a great place, and I think it's such a wonderful thing to support it. It's going to make you feel really good. So please call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, and you'll have wonderful people here to talk to you.
I want to ask if there's someone who's listening right now who's able to make a contribution of $50 a month. If you're able to do that, that'll get us our goal for the evening news. That'll get us there. If you could do $50 a month, and you don't have to put it up right now. You don't have to put up the $600. Just say, look, I can do $50 a month. That is a $600 membership, and that is doable for many people, because when you cut your Comcast, when you cut these corporate ties that you really don't actually need in order to support a community station that you do need, that provides you with the news and information on a consistent basis, really quality journalism from a perspective that you don't hear on the other airwaves and on the other channels that you maybe look for news, that is totally worth it. To maybe, you know, give up your Comcast. I don't know. I'm not saying that you should, but consider the value that you get from KBOO. I mean, do you want to have a station that is all about progressive social change, innovative radio, daring reporting that really goes beyond the headlines and examines the deeper issues at play in our society? You and thousands of other listeners in your community rely on KBOO, rely on this evening newscast every weekday in order to keep this this reporting on the airwaves. We need your support right now. Our drive ends tomorrow, and we are behind our goal. We need your support. Can you give $500, $600? Dig a little deeper than you thought you could, because this is a time when this type of media is crucial. Can you support it? Please think about how much this is worth to you. Give $50 a month if you can. Give $5 a month if that is doable for you. Any amount that you give, we'll give you a thank you gift. $5 a month and up, we will give you a thank you gift. We'll give you a Democracy Now! Shirt for $10 a month. We'll give you a KBOO t-shirt for $5 a month. If you can support KBOO at that level, we'll give you that as a thank you, but the real thank you is keeping this station vibrant and strong. 877-500-5266. 5266. Support this locally produced newscast produced entirely by volunteers.
Yes, entirely produced by volunteers. And you can also go online to kboo.fm, kboo.fm, and click on donate and just donate. Help this radio station continue to be strong and an example of what free speech is all about in America or the world. And this is very important. This is very important. The thing that I always think about is how everyone is always paying for a different service, either Comcast, Xfinity, because we all have to have internet, or we all have to have some sort of TV or entertainment, or Netflix, or music services that we all do, that I do. You have Slacker, you have Spotify, and everyone is always paying $9.99, $10.99, $11.99, sometimes $7.99. Supporting a radio station that belongs to your community, that is being made by your community, is as important as all these services. Think about it. Just take action and help this radio station continue to shine through.
877-500-KABOO. Please call us right now. Let's get those phones ringing. KABOO exists to strengthen our community, highlighting the work of nonprofits and grassroots partners in our newscast on a daily basis. If you've heard a story on the news that you've then shared with someone that you know and said, hey, I heard this on the KABOO News, something that you hadn't known about in your community or in the nation or in the world, then please note that and show that you support that by calling this station and giving a monthly contribution. That keeps this free speech bastion on the airwaves, filling this unique niche in Portland's non-commercial radio ecostream. This is KABOO. We need your support. This is the station of the healthy, resilient community. 877-500-5266. Call now.
You are listening to the KABOO Evening News. Stay tuned for an in-depth segment about Portland's Queer Documentary Festival at 5:45, followed by the Queer Boo Corner at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. At 8, The Melting Pot with Takimba fuses elements of electronica with instruments and vocals from various cultures. At 10, DJ Anjali and The Incredible Kid bring you electronic urban funk from the global diaspora on Kabi Kushi Kabi Kush. Tomorrow's weather is going to be cooler and overcast with a high of 64 and a low of 48. East of the Cascades and Hood River, look for partly cloudy skies and a high of 67. Today in history, in 1618, the event known as the Second Defenestration of Prague triggers the 30 Years' War. And the quote of the day is from Roger Moore, who died today at the age of 89. Teach love, generosity, good manners, and some of that will drift from the classroom to the home, and who knows, the children will be educating the parents.
This weekend, I went to the Hollywood Theater for Portland's Queer Documentary Film Festival.
Bowie State University in Maryland held its commencement ceremony today for the class of 2017, but one student was noticeably absent. Richard Collins III, who is due to graduate, was murdered on Saturday in what the FBI is now investigating as a possible hate crime. Collins was standing at a bus stop with some friends when a man approached them and began issuing commands to the group, telling Collins to, quote, step left if he knew what was good for him, end quote. When Collins refused, Christopher Urbanski stabbed him in the chest, killing him. It was later discovered that Urbanski was a member of the white nationalist Facebook group, prompting FBI to investigate. Hate crimes have been on the rise in the U.S. since Donald Trump's election, a disturbing reversal of what had been a downward trend. Bowie State University President Dr. Mickey L. Burnham presented Richard Collins' parents with his diploma and called for a moment of silence in his honor, telling the assembled graduates to think about, quote, what each of us might do to promote greater peace, harmony, and love that seems to be so lacking in our country and our world today, end quote.
The first dissident of the FARC's 18th Front was murdered and four professors have been displaced by armed groups taking control of the territory following the recent withdrawal of the guerrilla FARC army. On November 24, 2016, Colombia signed an amended peace deal with FARC in Bogota. The agreement was meant to end 52 years of war and included FARC's promise to disarm fighters and contain them in demobilization camps before being transferred to rehabilitation zones. The zones are designed to help them acclimatize to civilian life, but the peace process has compromised security in parts of Colombia. The lapses in security have emboldened new armies to take control of certain territories, while about 160 dissidents of the 7,000 FARC soldiers who have felt jilted in the peace deal continue to exhort business owners in San Jose Guaviare area.
The Mao terrorist group took over the city of Marawan in the Philippines today. The ISIS-affiliated group allegedly set fire to public buildings and raised ISIS flags. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte declared martial law on all of Mindanao Island, which includes Marawi. The Philippine army withdrew from the city, making Marawi the first city held by ISIS sympathizers in the country.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Jenka and Ender to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is our spring membership drive. And we're asking for your support. This is what you're hearing in the back room here is our phone answering volunteers that are picking up the phone and taking your calls. And we urge you to support this radio station. If you can do a $20 a month contribution, that will go significantly towards our goal this hour. Please consider that. Is that something that you can do that you can fit into your budget? The number to call is 877-500-5266, and think about what's doable for you. Maybe a $10 a month contribution is what you can do. Again, it's a $10 a month contribution. We can get you a Democracy Now! T-shirt or a Higher Being T-shirt, which is an alien looking into the galaxy with KBOO written in kind of ghostly letters. It is a sci-fi looking piece that is done by local artist Anna Vo. Matthew on our Facebook page says, right now, KBOO needs us in a critical way. Membership drives fill nearly all of KBOO's operational needs, and the station is at risk of falling significantly short on funding this time. Today, Matthew says he's pledging an additional gift on top of what he gives on a monthly basis because he needs KBOO, and is asking you to join him in this effort, because if you can, that will get us closer to our goal. That will allow KBOO to stay resilient in the fight for free media that is going on right now in this nation. Please call 877-500-5266. We don't have quite the numbers that we need right now, and we are asking for your support. We don't want this station to go dark, as it has been said. David Barsamian the other day was telling the story of a station in Texas, a community radio station that he was trying to raise support for, and they didn't make their goals. And after a couple of years, they ended up closing that station, and it got taken over by that signal got taken over by the Christian right on the airwaves there. And if you think that this station is valuable, that you want to keep it going and you want to support it, please consider giving $10 a month. I think that is doable for a lot of people. Maybe it's a stretch for some of you listening to consider giving that amount, that it sounds significant. It sounds like quite a bit given your budget. But think about it. Think about the value of KBOO. Think about the information that you get from the KBOO Evening News. Join your friends and neighbors. Become a member of this powerful radio community. Please consider $10 a month contribution. You'll get a t-shirt in return, but of course the real gift is the station that you hear every single day that's bringing you the news, the news that got it right on Iraq, on Afghanistan, on Yemen, on Saudi Arabia, the station that gets the news accurately, correctly, and from the source. This is pretty unique, and we're doing that with just your support as listeners. Please call 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266.
The city of Manchester, England, is pulling together today after last night's bombing at an Ariana Grande concert, which left at least 22 people dead and more than 50 wounded. Several people are still missing. Grande's show had just ended, and concertgoers were beginning to file out of the Manchester arena when a bomb went off near one of the venue's exits. In the chaos that ensued, Mancunians responded by bringing food and water to the site and opening their doors to people who were left stranded by the transportation shutdown that followed the bombing. Taxi drivers offered free rides, and area hotels became gathering places for children who had attended the concert alone or been separated from their parents. The desire of locals to do something constructive with their pain continued today, and local blood banks were flooded with donors. The National Health Service released a statement via Twitter saying that they have all the blood they need for the moment, but urged people with pending donation appointments to keep them. A man named Ian, who was interviewed by the BBC outside of a blood donation center, said he'd felt the need to show solidarity with his community, adding, quote, "They want us to turn on our own neighbors, and it will never happen, not here," end quote. British police have identified the person who carried out the attack as 22-year-old Solomon Abedi. NBC News is reporting that Abedi, who was killed in the blast, was well known to the British police and intelligence services.
You are listening to the Membership Drive special broadcast of your local volunteer-produced news and public affairs. KBOO gives you weekly connections to hard news, human stories, and public interest, and now is your opportunity to give back.
You're listening to the evening news on KBOO, and we urge you to give your support. If you haven't done so yet, please make that call right now, 877-500-5266. Please consider giving $10 a month. Do that for your evening newscast that sustains you every single evening. Maybe you're coming back from work. Maybe you are doing chores at home or gardening or just having some time with your kids, or maybe you are a teenager that's trying to get informed about what's happening in the world. Well, whatever your case, the important thing is that you support this station. Whether you are a youth member that could do a $10 a year contribution, anyone under 21 could be a member for $10 a year. If you are 21 and up, it's a $20 a year minimum membership. But we urge you to consider giving a bit more, maybe $20 a month. Make that a sustaining donation to your community radio station, 877-500-5266. Consider it. Can you live without this news? Can you live without a station that is based here in your community? What if disaster strikes? You need a station that is not automated, that's not based in New York City, that's not based in Los Angeles, but that's based right here in our humble studios in Portland, Oregon, that you know you can turn to in any time of crisis. And there will be a real person in the airwaves that will answer your call and that will tell what's going on in the community. It's happened before, and KBOO has always been there. Please support this station, 877-500-5266. If you pledge $10 or more, we'll get you a Democracy Now! T-shirt, sweatshop free, 100% cotton Democracy Now! T-shirt from American Apparel, a black crew neck with a Democracy Now! Logo on the front with democracynow.org on the back. If you're able to do $25 a month, then you could get a KBOO hoodie. Store that until the weather cools off a bit, and I'm sure that it will, and you will make good use of this hoodie and join the Million Hoodie Brigade and show solidarity with all the hoodie wearers in the country with your KBOO hoodie, $25 a month contribution. If you want that Democracy Now! T-shirt, just a $10 a month contribution to your station. Support the station that supports you. It's really a university of the airwaves. We provide the training, we provide the information, and we share that with our listeners. Please, you make KBOO happen. You help us work to improve our community. Now we need your help to help strengthen those efforts. Invest in this community. Community building station. Do a real concrete thing for social change right now, today. You might be wondering what you can do. You might be worrying about the future and wondering if democracy will remain. Well, you can keep this station of democracy on the airwaves with just a phone call and set it up. Any amount that you're able to do, $5 a month, $10 a month, get that T-shirt for $10 a month contribution, Democracy Now! T-shirt, or the Anna Vo Higher Being t-shirt. You can see what they look like at kboo.fm. You can also give there, kboo.fm, and you can donate online. And we do really want to hear the phones ring as well. So some of you who are listening, give online. And if you have a phone in your hand, well, I want you to turn to that phone function on your phone and use it that way and call this number and support us here at KBOO and support yourself really in your community. 877-500-5266. Our evening news provides airtime to community organizations to explain their causes, to publicize their events, reporting on events as they happen. We have reporters out in the street that are reporting on events that are going on in your community, encouraging participation in democratic process. We report on the ballot measures. We report on the bonds. We report on local city council candidates. Here we support the kind of radio that is locally driven, that builds civic responsibility, that is based in the community. Please support your evening news. This is almost your last chance. Tomorrow our drive ends. You have been holding out. You've been listening to the pleas and you have waited. Now, procrastinators unite. It is time to support KBOO. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Support the evening newscast that you're hearing here on the airwaves of KBOO. This is a volunteer produced newscast. You're hearing the you're hearing our inimitable news director, Zelos Marchant, and Jasmine producing this radio on a daily basis and bringing it to you so that you can hear the local, national, and international news that is so important to understanding the world as it is, so important to understanding what's happening in politics and in the at the national level and at the local level and what people are doing about it. Please call right now, 877-500-5266. We're almost at our 50th anniversary. Next year is KBOO's 50th anniversary. We have all kinds of exciting plans. We're going to have an exhibit at the Oregon Historical Society. We're planning parties. We've got all kinds of things. We've got the Fuzzy Boo van, and maybe you've seen us out around town with our Fuzzy Boo van, but we need your support. This station needs to remain strong, and we only do so because we have so many listeners supporting us. I know that you don't need anything more than a nudge. You know how much you value this station, and all you need is a reminder to call 877-500-5266.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and as always, we encourage your participation. Call us with your news tips and breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ricky King, Teresa Mitchell, Jasmine Moneymaker, Tom Flynn, and myself. The producer also happened to be myself. And special thanks to the fearless pledge drivers, Jinka and Ender, all of our fantastic volunteers who are Power Rangers in my heart, and our engineer, Sam Parrish, who is also the best Power Ranger of them all. The KBOO Evening News Public Affairs Director is myself, Zelos, filling in today. And a podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/, you guessed it, Evening News. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Zelos Marchant.
And I'm Jasmine. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, Paul Rowland welcomes co-host Jacqueline Keeler. At 9 on Political Perspectives, Teresa Mitchell welcomes your calls. At 10, Chris Andre hosts a special Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, The Recovery Zone welcomes Elizabeth Whaling, author of Your Brain's Politics, Neuroscience and the Political Divide, a look at the differences between conservatives and progressives' political framing. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not yet a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Thank you. The 11th annual Portland Queer Documentary Film Festival ran from last Thursday to Sunday. It's the only film festival in the country that features solely LGBTQ nonfiction. KBOO's Ricky King has this report.
This weekend, I went to the Hollywood Theater for Portland's Queer Documentary Film Festival, or QDoc, for the first time.
This was my first time attending it, and I was wondering how you would each describe the festival to someone who had never been.
One word, I would say it's generous.
Films about gender, sexuality.
Important.
It's open-ended. It's like, it's a very interesting community engagement.
It's about what it means to be human.
The festival was started 10 years ago by Russ Gage and David Weissman. This year, Molly King and Deb Kemp, who were on KBOO earlier this month, took the reins. QDoc is the only LGBT-focused documentary film festival in the country and one of just two in the world. And, like many good things, the festival is run largely by volunteers.
My name's Trav.
Hi, Trav. I'm Ricky.
Hi, Ricky. Nice to meet you.
My name is Larissa Zimmerman.
My name is Shannon.
Okay.
Tony.
And how did you get involved with QDoc?
I came as an attendee a few years ago and wanted to volunteer this year.
Russ worked with me at the Portland International Film Festival, and he was a good friend. So when he said he needed some help, I said sure.
I know David Weissman. He's one of the original creators of it. And just through him, I've been able to connect with QDoc, and I feel it's important to be out here and help out and everything.
This is just like my favorite film festival in town. I work at the Northwest Film Center downtown at the Portland Art Museum the rest of the year, but QDoc is the one where I volunteer my time.
Yeah, I like it's open-ended. A lot of these movies, at the end of them, there's Q&As that follow them, so that's always nice. The other thing I really find significant about this festival is that a lot of times the directors and the actual subjects of the movies are here, and so there's a lot of continuation where you can ask questions and have like a dialogue continue after you've seen a documentary. I mean, other film festivals I've been to just haven't been like that.
For me, they're important stories to be told, especially now, because so much of what happened in the past was sort of pushed down and ignored, and now it's able to come out. And sometimes I think we need a reminder of the past so we don't make the same mistakes in the future. For now.
What makes it your favorite film festival then?
Well, honestly, I think it's the audience. The customers who attend this festival are just the nicest people in Portland, and they make me feel so happy to be in a customer service role that I'll do it for free.
I think the fact that youth are free up to the age of 23 and under, just making this like an inviting space for like young folks to really engage with their community is just so valuable.
And that it's not a superhero movie. It has nothing to do with CGI superheroes. And I think it's important because now it seems like that's what a lot of theaters want to keep showing. So it's important.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, and that this is just as important. This is real. It happens to real people.
I show up on Friday evening and the place is packed. Only a few empty seats.
My name's Andrea, and I've been coming to QDoc for several years. I don't know exactly how many. I am a historian, and I study the history of sexuality. I also teach queer studies classes at PCC, so it's always good for me to see documentaries as they come out. And I think it's my understanding that this is one of the only queer documentary film festivals in the country, so I'm pretty happy that we have that here in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
This is my partner, Namisha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm being interviewed for KBOO Radio. She comes because I make her. Mostly.
Mostly, yeah.
What else? Why else do you come?
I think for someone like myself, who is gay, it's important to learn. And, you know, I enjoy movies that are gay and queer oriented, but I think, at least for me, I came very late to being gay, so I didn't have a lot of, like, learnings about it. I didn't do queer studies in college. I didn't learn a lot. So this is one way that I get to hear some of the history, but also people's truths about their experiences. Because I have my own personal experience, but I think it's also important to hear other perspectives. And that's what documentaries, I think, give. And a lot of it is self-funded and crowdsourced. So it is a labor of love, which is very different than your regular movies that you're watching. I don't know. I think it's important to to support arts and people who are passionate about making art.
The film screening is Jewels Catch One, a look into the history of a black-owned, queer-friendly disco in L.A. run by Jewel Thais Williams for over 40 years. Jewel supported her community throughout the AIDS crisis and even went to school to learn traditional medicine so she could make a greater difference for them. So by the end of the film, I'm in awe of this woman, how she was able to do so much in the face of racism and homophobia and misogyny, and then she walks up onto the stage. I was so surprised to see the same face I'd just seen up on the big screen right there in front of me. And then she began to speak.
I'm wondering, Jewel, if you could just tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now and what's next for you.
Sounds like Sharon Stone's question. Right now, I'm continuing on with the Village Health Foundation. My dream is to one day get an even larger space so that we can get more of a variety of different kinds of complementary medicine going on. There's an epidemic of people dying and getting sick with pharmaceuticals. That cycle needs to stop. What our system, what our healthcare, quote unquote, system does not do very well is to get to the bottom of what it is that's causing these things. My goal place would be to have that combination of holistic Western principles combined with complementary medicine.
And she's going to have a blog, Ask Jewel, on her site, villagehealthfoundation.org.
And you should remain gay and lesbian and lively and all of that forever. But, you know, times are changing, not only in the queer community, but the nightclubs for heteros are closing too. I don't know what the future will bring, but I hope that we will have at least places, spaces, and organizations where we can meet. We need more of a group presence. There's power, as you know, in numbers. And so it's important for us to find those places, spaces, people where we can stick together, come together, and support each other on every front. And we saw with Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, and those folks too, peaceful resistance. And if we ever needed it, now is the hour.
After the Q&A, I got the chance to speak with Jewel.
I was wondering what it means to have a platform here in Portland, to have a queer film festival.
Yeah, well, I think events like this are necessary for us, and it brings us together. I try to do as many anonymous things as I can, where only me and the recipient of whatever kindness or gifts that I have can go to them. But just out of the goodness of one's heart, and we all have that, just as we all have greatness in our came with it, and it's just a matter of pulling it out and doing what I call the two P's, and that's patience, having patience and perseverance, having a dream and following it.
What do you think is next for the community and like how to give, because it's changing, like the issues that we're facing are different, like the, going from the AIDS crisis to more of like a 21st century. What do you think is left to be done?
Oh, a lot. As far as our first of all uniting and becoming a bigger force by virtue of the numbers that we can present as a whole group of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of folks, you know, behind an issue can make a change. And it has to be done, I feel, from the grassroots level. This is how President Obama did it, you know, organize those folks that are not represented by that 1%, to have the masses all be able to be educated, be able to eat well, to be able to sleep in a warm place and be educated. That's not asking a lot of a civilized society, I don't think. And we're on Facebook, just catch one documentary.
The stories told at QDoc range from the story of a Safe Haven nightclub in the 70s to the movement to end paragraph 175, which criminalized homosexuality in Germany. That last film is My Wonderful West Berlin, directed by Jochen Hick.
I think Berlin is very special because of its, it's incomparable to any other big city, I think, in the West because of the history and the possibilities you had there. In the end, as much as a type of material, always about gay stuff, as all of you know, and about other things. I was a little bit astonished that there was not that much. Anyone who does a gay film, for example, would have to spend between 7,500 and 8,000 euros. That's the list price for 1 minute of archival material. And the movement back then was really very, very, very different because, as I understand it, a lot of the lesbians came out of the women's movement and also went back into the women's movement and were also together with the women's movement. And then there was another big, big, big cut between lesbians or between women and gay men. You know, there are a couple of things which made these developments parallel. Of course, we were also parallel looking for footage about lesbian things. There's even less. And I think I'm also not appropriate to make a film about the lesbian history and sexuality. Of course, the lesbians felt left out, but nowadays the trans and inter persons feel that they are left out and that everything is ruled by the gay white men and by the gay old white men who are sitting in these functions and have access to everything. Yeah, there's something going on. Thank you very much for coming. It's a great festival, and it's amazing that it's the only one in the world which is really, really special. Okay.
The history of anti-gay legislation like paragraph 175 sometimes goes overlooked. Likewise, the so-called Lavender Scare was a period in the 50s in the United States when same-gender attracted people were considered a threat to national security. I spoke with Josh Howard, director of the documentary The Lavender Scare.
This is really kind of the place you want to be. It's the only festival in the country that is documentaries of all LGBT issues. It has a reputation for having a very loyal audience, and I'm very excited to be here.
For the audience, what is the Lavender Scare?
It refers to a period in the 1950s when it was believed that gay people were a threat to the security of the country. It's kind of a play on the Red Scare, the fear that communists were security risks. At some point, it was also thought that gay people who were, at the time, in the closet, very concerned about keeping their sexuality hidden, would also be security risks in that they might be subjected to blackmail. Homosexual sex was illegal in all 50 states, and so it was very much in the interest of gay men and lesbians to keep their sexuality secret. You could be fired from your federal job, or really any job, if it was discovered you were gay. So the federal government, President Eisenhower in 1953, ordered the firing of any gay man or lesbian who was discovered to be working for the U.S. government.
So that's like a really recent part of our history.
Well, it is, and it's something that I think a lot of people don't know about. It's something I didn't know about. I thought I knew a bit about gay history, and having lived through 60-some-odd years of it myself. But this is something that was done secretly in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. It wasn't talked about much. And it really wasn't until recently that some of this information started coming to light. So I thought it was an important film to make for that reason. I think gay history does tend to get marginalized. And it is not known to, certainly to the population in general, but also to gay people. And I think it's important to know what our history is. Progress on social issues is not necessarily a straight line. It's frequently two steps forward and one back. And in the political environment that we're in right now, I think we do have to be concerned about protecting the progress that we've made. I hope so. Check our website, thelavenderscare.com.
I left the Queer Documentary Film Festival knowing way more LGBTQ history than I went in knowing. I left with a lingering sense of sadness for the ways queer and trans people have been mistreated historically, but I left with a sense of hope, too. Because that narrative starts to change once these stories start being heard. This has been Ricky King with KABU Community Radio.
Indeed, the narrative does change when these voices are being heard, and the place that you hear them is on KABU Community Radio. Right now, we need your support during this spring membership drive. We need a few more of you to call in the next minute and a half in order to reach the goal for the evening news. We are behind our goal, and we need your support right now. If you have not yet given to support this station, do so right now, and do so at the $5 a month or $10 a month level. Please call and support this station. $10 a month. Get a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Support this station that supports you, or if you could do a $75 pledge, we can get you tickets to Diggable Planets. That's this week at the Crystal Ballroom. It's on the 28th. Go see a show with a loved one, get a pair of tickets, and support your community radio station. That is this coming Sunday, the 28th, at 9 p.m. at Crystal Ballroom. We have three pairs of tickets left for that. So call with your $75 contribution to KABU. You can also split that up into monthly deduction of $6.25 a month, or maybe give a little bit more. Dig deep and support this station. 877-500-5266. We're close to our goal, but we need your support. Please call that number. We want to thank Clayton from Southeast Portland, who gave online, kboo.fm, another very easy way to give. Do so if you can, or call the number 877-500-KBOO. Again, online, kboo.fm. And we want to thank Cheryl from Northeast Portland for giving at kboo.fm. KABU would like to thank Yahala Lebanese Cuisine Restaurant for donating food for our volunteers today. Yahala is located at 8005 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. You too can support KABU Community Radio by calling in with your membership at 877-500-5266. Help sustain this community resource for Portland, Cascadia, and the world.
KABU Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways